Hello, and welcome to Strong to the Finish Real Talk Radio, where we talk about the topics that are comfortable to talk about, but yet very necessary. I'm your host, I'm your girl, Valerie Johnson Reed, and I know it's been a minute, I know it's been a delay, but it's not because I don't have anything to talk about. It's just because, like, the schedule is just so hectic right now. But I promise you, this is going to be an interesting topic. So, in the last couple weeks, last couple days, there have been various people that I've known, and not that it stopped, but there have been various people that I know that have had to experience the passing of a parent. And so the age bracket that I'm in, that's more common than not, because our parents, as we get older, our parents get older. So it's not uncommon to have friends my age that their parents are passing on to the next life. And so transitioning. And so, you see the post and you know, for me, it takes me back to when my mom passed away. And so I can relate to it. But I'm not really quick to give advice on what to do, because, everybody grieves differently. Everybody's family connections are different. So there's not just one way to grieve. Let me say that. And so when I see people posted, I immediately, go back and I think about my mom, and what that was like, that experience, as she passed away, before, during, and after, and what that was like. And so I relate to it. Can I say I understand everybody's family dynamics? No, because everybody's situation is unique. So with that being said, there was a young man who posted standing by his mom's casket, and people were saying, that they were praying for him, their condolences or whatever. And so one person said, was pretty much saying, be strong. And I was so proud of his response, because his response was, no, I'm not trying to be. And I was so happy his response. And some of you may be saying, well, why would you be happy about him responding that way? I'm happy because I feel like he gets it. Why do we tell people that they need to be strong when someone close to them passes away? Why do we feel that when people are grieving that we want them to be strong? Like, what makes it, I don't know. It's just weird to me. It's just like, I get it. I know we want to send an encouraging word. Yes, I know we do. I know we want to be an encouragement. I know we want to say something, to encourage them. I get it. Trust me, I do. But telling someone to be strong after their parent died, or their sibling died, or someone close to them, I don't know. I think sometimes we just need to be quiet. And I know, again, we want to be helpful. We want to offer our condolences. We want to, we want to be there for people. But again, some of the things that we say, and I know we don't mean any harm by it, but some of the things that we say, this is like, are we really thinking about what we're saying? You're asking somebody to hold back the tears, hold back their emotions, and they just watch their parent be put in the ground. They just watch their parent, they'll never see their parent again on this side of heaven. And you want them to do what? You want them to be strong. Okay. And so what does that mean? What does be strong mean? For some people, be strong means, okay, just get up in the morning, brush your teeth, wash your face, take a shower, for others, it may, so I just think we have to be careful with the words that we say when we talk about be strong. I told one of my friends, her mother recently passed away, and I called her and I told her, I said, feel the emotions. Every emotion that you feel, feel it. Go through the grieving process. Don't let anyone stifle the process for you, because guess what? It's something you're going to go through regardless. You know, regardless if you know, because everybody's process is different. Grief comes at different times. The grieving process, the grieving cycle happens. It happens. And when it happens, I mean, it's a lot of emotions, denial, anger, all the different emotions that come along with it, all the different levels of stages of grief. It happens. And is there one, like, is it, oh, first you're this and then you're this and then? No, it doesn't happen like that. So I just think we really need to be careful on how we're telling people to be strong. You know, oh, be strong. Again, I know we don't mean any harm by it, but are those the right words to say? I don't know. I have a book called Stay Strong, Finish Strong, and I hit on grief, but I'm not telling you don't feel the emotions. I'm not telling you don't feel what you feel. I'm not saying that at all. My book is talking about something totally different. I talk about grief and loss, yes. But I'm also talking about how you overcome things. But I'm not necessarily telling you not to feel the feelings that you feel. Don't feel the emotion. Because if you stop and you feel the feelings, you know, you feel the pain, you know, if you go through the stages of grief, and the stages of grief are the five, there are five stages. And so if you feel the five stages of grief, you're going to feel all these things. Will you feel them all at one time? Not necessarily. Will you feel them one day you find, the next day you crying, or next second you crying? Yes. Grief is a roller coaster of ups and downs, according to the Hospice Foundation of America. Mm-hmm. It's a roller coaster of ups and downs, highs and lows. That's correct. And the five stages of grief, if you don't know what the five stages of grief are, the five stages are, the first stage is denial, that it even happened, denial. The second one will be anger. The third one would be bargaining. The fourth one would be depression. The fifth one would be acceptance. And there's no particular order. So, you know, there's no particular order. So you can't, you know, yeah, you can't really tell people how to grieve. You can't tell people, oh, you need to be strong. I mean, you could tell them. But are we really helping them by telling them that? Are we doing a disservice to them? Are we really helping them? You know, I don't know. I felt some type of way when the young lady told the young man he needs to be strong. And then she came back and said something like, you know, his response was like, oh, well, no, I'm not trying to be, you know, whatever. And I was proud of the fact that he said it. And then she came back and said something like, well, yeah, I get da da da. And I'm just like, yeah, but you initially said telling him to be strong. So you did. You know, you did. You said what you said, you know. And again, I don't think she meant it, any harm from it. I don't think she was trying to be, you know, harmful or hurtful. But she did tell him to try to be strong. Be strong. You know, you got to be strong. And as I told my friend, I told her, I said, if you want to cry, cry. If you want to yell, yell. If you want to scream, scream. If you want to run, run. Do feel the emotions. One of the things that just kind of intrigues me is how we want people to not feel the emotions. And emotions are in the Bible, y'all. I mean, it says that Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Jesus wept. When he found out that Lazarus had died, he wept. So even Jesus had feelings. You know, come on. It's just like, you know, why do we feel like we're not supposed to feel feelings? Like we're supposed to be cold and, you know, and just heartless and, oh, you know, you got to be strong and don't show no emotion. And it's just like, no. That's not what we do. You know, when you love somebody, you're going to cry. You're going to have emotions. You're going to have feelings. You know, when a parent dies, you know, you're going to have, oh my gosh, this is the person that raised, this is the person that birthed me, this is the person that took care of me as a baby, this is the person that took care of me as a child, this is my parent. You know, so you're going to look at, you know, you're going to look at every person that passed away, you're going to look at them in a different, depending on who they were to you or are to you, you're going to look at it differently. And so some people might cry for this person. Some people might not. My only encouragement is to you, anybody that is going through the process, go through the process. If you feel that you need to cry, you cry. If you need to be in denial, if you're in denial one day, you're okay, you're in denial. But you can't stay there. The reality is this person did die. And so now how do you move forward? Not you're moving on. You're not moving on like they never existed. But how do you move forward in the world? Because guess what? The world keeps on turning. So how do you keep going when someone dies? Is it that you're supposed to be strong? I don't think so. Or is it that you're just supposed to go through the process and then from there you realize, okay, what would this, you know, let, you know, at some point, I'm not saying when, because grief does not have a time limit, you know, it's an ongoing process. But I think when you allow yourself to go through the grieving process, I think you're doing yourself a really big favor. And here's why I say that, because I know when my brother died, it caught us all off guard. It was a total shock. The timing of it was just, you know, it's never a good time to die. Let me say that. But it was just weird. It was just strange. It was weird. And I, besides my grandmother passing away, I had never had anyone in my our family pass away. And so that was totally caught me and my mom off guard. Totally unexpected. So I didn't even know how to respond. I cried at the hospital when they pronounced him. And I was holding on to my, you know, holding on to my mom. She was holding on to me. And I'm like, Lord, you know, it's a blur to me now. But I mean, I remember when we went to go view his body before we had like a wake. And we went more of a private wake, I guess, more so just to make sure everything was okay to our liking or whatever. And I know my mom saw him. She was getting ready to just fall out. And I was like, Mom, you know, I was trying to console her. But while I was consoling her, I immediately stopped what I was feeling to console her. And so by me doing that, did I do myself a disservice? Or did I do myself a favor? I think I did myself a disservice. Here's why. Because I never cried. It didn't hit me until after. I ain't gonna say weeks later, but it didn't hit me. I didn't cry during the ceremony. I didn't cry at the cemetery. I didn't cry when we came back to my house for the repast. I don't know when I cried, but it hit me a lot later. And then when my mom died, so my brother died in June 3rd, 2011. My mom died January 19th, 2012. And so when she died, even though she was in hospice care, I still was kind of like, okay, this can't be happening. And so she was preparing, but I wasn't preparing. And so, and of course, then you could never be prepared. Even though somebody's sick or in hospice care, you still are never truly prepared, in my opinion. But, you know, I was kind of in denial that it was even happening. But she talked to me as much as she could, told me things I needed to know. I wasn't really trying to hear because I wasn't trying to go through the process. Because remember now, my brother had just died that June. So I wasn't trying to go through this again. And again, remember, I had my feelings bottled up. I didn't express myself. I didn't show any emotion. So here we go. My mom's dying. I'm trying to, you know, take care of her affairs, take care of her needs, and I'm trying to hold myself together until one day I just kind of just got sick to my stomach, and I just felt like I was weak and about to pass out. And Chris, my late husband, was able to, you know, get me, and I was just like, I'm just overwhelmed. I was just like, I can't believe all this is happening. So we were telling people to be strong. I don't recommend that. I just think we're doing a disservice to them because we're asking them to hold the feelings, hold the emotions. Don't say it. And it's just like, no, let them grieve. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like, grief for everybody is going to look different. It's going to sound different. Let them do what they need to do to process all of this stuff. And then finally, when my husband passed away, that October 14th, 2012, he passed away. And I'm just gonna be honest with you, I just kind of was just numb. At that point in time, I was numb. I didn't have no more feelings. I didn't have no emotions. I was just kind of like, everything is a blur. I remember certain things that happened, but I do remember this at his service. I just remember looking at the clock, or looking at a watch, or looking at my phone. Okay, what time is it? Okay, yes, we're supposed to be here, here, here. This is okay. I look back in the audience. Okay, I saw the people. Great, these people showed up. Okay, they're on program to speak. I remember looking at things like that, not taking in the fact that this has really happened. Not taking in the fact, you know, that holding on to every moment. I was like, okay, just trying to get through it. And by me just trying to get through it, I did myself a disservice. So my point is, don't do yourself a disservice by trying to hold in your grief. And don't encourage anyone else to do themselves a disservice by holding in their grief. Allow yourself to go through the grieving process. Do not allow, and I repeat, do not allow friends. Do not allow family members. Do not allow church members. Do not allow neighbors to tell you how to feel. And I'm even top it off and say, and when someone says something like be strong, or, you know, it all happened. When they say that weird stuff, because it's people say weird stuff when people die. I mean, let's just keep it 100. People say weird stuff. And when they say that weird stuff, you have the right to respond or not respond. But don't feel like you have to sit there and subject yourself to it. You don't. I'm not saying being rude, be disrespectful. I'm not saying that. But you have the right to respond or not respond. Or you have the right to say, you know what? I know that you mean well, and I know you mean no harm. However, I don't need you to talk. I just need you to sit down right there and just be in the room. Now, if they're a real friend to you and they really care about you, guess what they're going to do? They're going to go over there and sit down and be quiet. Or they're going to see something that they can do and they're going to do it. But I bet they won't start talking again or saying no weird stuff anymore. Okay? And so don't allow yourself to get caught up in it. Don't allow yourself to get all frustrated and upset. But tell them, do not allow them to run over you with that mindset and that train of thought about, oh, well, you know, you're only supposed to grieve a certain amount of time. No. You grieve, you go through the process, and is it a process that you ever will get over? No, I don't think so. But I will say this. What I do know to be true is when you're grieving or as you grieve, if you trust and lean on God, He will give you the answers that you need. He will comfort you. He will give you some of the things that you're looking for. You know, it might not be everything. So a lot of times when people die, we want to know, well, why? Well, why? You know, why? You know, and all I can say is this, you know, we don't know the day or the time. We never know
how life is going to end. Just like life begins, we know that there is an expiration date for all of us. And so we don't know why. We probably won't ever know why, you know. But those are the things that we shouldn't really focus on. We need to focus on, you know, we're still here. We have reason. We have a purpose of being here. And for whatever reason God kept us here, we need to keep focused on what we need to be doing. Is it hard sometimes? Absolutely. Does it get challenging sometimes? Yes. I would be lying to you all if I said every day is easy and it's unicorns and rainbows every day. No, it's not. But do I know that God is with me? Yes, I do. And I say that with confidence because He is. He's what has kept me so this far. He will continue to keep me. So, with that being said, I want us to think about what we say. I want us to think about the next time you hear about somebody's loved one, family friend, whoever passing away. Let's not be so quick to tell them to be strong. Be strong for what? Kind of like the song, Turn Down for What? Be strong for what? What do you need to be strong for? Be strong for what? What is there a prize for being strong? No. Is there an award for who's the strongest person and didn't cry and didn't show emotion? There's not a prize. You're not getting an award. Do yourself a favor. Go through the process. Allow yourself to grieve and don't let anyone make you feel any type of way about it. That's it. That's all. I'm your girl. I'm your host, Valerie Johnson Reed. And once again, it's always a pleasure. Let's be mindful of what we say, y'all. Let's start thinking about what we say before it comes out our mouth. Do y'all do that? Do people do that? Or no, we don't. We just say whatever. Let's stop just shooting our mouths off. Let's think about it. If I say this, is this going to affect this person? Is this going to make sense? Is this the right time to say this? Sometimes it's just best to be quiet. So again, I'm your girl. I'm your host, Valerie Johnson Reed. This has been another episode of Strong to the Finish Real Talk Radio, where we talk about the topics that are uncomfortable to talk about, but yet very necessary to talk about. And the title of this is Be Strong for What? You don't need to be strong. Feel the feelings, feel the emotions that life brings, that grief brings, and just keep pushing. Have a great evening.